I walk the Erie Valley, I've never seen the valley. I swam the darkest rivers, I've never seen the water.
Okay, before we start the show, Patrick.
Yes, Jim.
We have a special announcement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do. This is exciting.
We haven't done a live show in a while with a live audience.
Yeah.
But it's coming up.
It's coming up.
Wednesday, September 12th at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia.
One of my favorite places.
Yeah.
Love that club.
We've seen many shows there. So this is like legit. Like we've made
real.
The big time now.
We're going to be on stage.
A real venue. So the way this is going to work is if you go to the show at Jam and Java that night, previously scheduled show featuring folk singer Matt Holubowski.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stick around after Matt's done with his regular set, and then they're going to let us up on
the stage. So technically we're headlining.
I guess so. And we're going to interview Matt right there in front of the audience. He's going to play a few more songs, I'm told, solo acoustic, so you get a little bit of bonus
content
bonus different experience
the
there, different from the show.
Right.
We'll, as I mentioned, do the interview, and I think we'll probably take some audience questions, too.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited
I think
about
that'll
this.
Be fun. Yeah. I hope Matt is, too.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be great, and we really want to thank the Jam and Java people for setting this up for us, and Matt and everybody. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Matt Holubowski, you should go check out his work on the streaming services or what have you. He is French-Canadian and making his U.S. debut with some new music. It just came out.
Just came out at the very end of August.
I think you'll like it. All right, so should we do the podcast now?
Yeah, let's do the real podcast. All upcoming are goofy intros. I'm pulling by the lake. I've never seen the lake. I hear the sound of laughter. I've never heard of laughter. I fell into the hollow and didn't cast a shadow. I feel the rosy fingers drop for me. Mrs. Sweet Fitty, darling, she won't be. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, I have something to tell you, but... Can we talk in private?
Sure, Jim. What's up?
Well, I don't know how to say this, but I lost you in a poker game to Sound Opinions.
Really? Wow. Okay. What was the bet?
$50 in a case of beer.
What kind of beer?
You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And introduce our guest
here, Patrick. Yeah, so from South Carolina, we have Nicole Kitchens on the phone.
Hello.
And how do you know Nicole?
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, I've mentioned it probably a couple times before. I'm working at a job now where I kind of helping college journalism students get a little more ahead in their career. And this semester, or over the summer, I should say, I really was lucky to have... two people, both amazing, Nicole, who goes to the University of South Carolina, and Anna Rakkinen, I believe is how you pronounce it. I'm not sure if that's right. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. That's how I would say it.
Yeah. we've only Slacked a lot and talked once on the phone, but we use Slack as kind of our communication, and we have a little site where Nicole has done some amazing stuff. We sent her to see Kurt Vile. At the Underground in Charlotte.
Awesome.
Yep. She's written about Parquet Courts, The Growlers. Ugh. She even wrote about Travis Scott. She wrote an amazing thing you people have to read. We'll share this link on The Warped Tour that I thought was really good. Let's Eat Grandma. She kind of tore Jack White up. I don't know if you read that one,
a little
Jim.
Bit.
But
I mean, Jack White's like one of my heroes, but the new album, was I was not having it. So like, I had to roast it, you know.
The project we do, Jim, is not to really teach you how to write. You should already know that. I mean, Nicole's a journalism major. We want to help you sharpen your focus on what you're really passionate about. So I'm trying to just give her a lot of feedback based on my experience writing about music and kind of helping her along. And I think she's got no problem at all. She went to a Dead & Company concert earlier.
How was that?
Oh, God. It was amazing. Oh. It was so good. I had never been, and I'd been trying to go for like the past two tours. And like, I finally got a chance to go, and it was incredible.
Huh. Okay.
It was such a good show.
All right.
So are you going to be, you're a senior this year, is that right?
I'm a junior.
A junior,
junior at University of South Carolina. So my next door neighbor, the kid who lived, or lives next door, just went down.
Oh, he's a freshman.
He's a freshman at South
Carolina.
Really?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, he's Shane Miller.
Awesome.
Do you know him?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't.
And also my daughter's best friend from high school, also starting there as a freshman this year.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So there you go. It must be a popular destination from Virginia, yeah. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of kids from Virginia, actually. My freshman year roommate was from Williamsburg.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Don't want to go to the school in Williamsburg. <It'd> be embarrassing. Nicole, tell us a little bit about how you got so, I say this kindly, obsessed with music. It seems like you've got like an old soul about music. It's interesting.
I really
do. Stuff you like. And how did that all start?
Really just my dad and my grandpa. Like when I was little, growing up, they would always play stuff like the Beatles or the Stones or Led Zeppelin or just old classic rock kind of stuff. And my dad's favorite story to tell is that when I was 5 years old, he like figured out that I was stealing all of his CDs from his CD collection. And he was like in my room and he found like Led Zeppelin 4 and like a Prince CD and like all these things that like a 5 year old should not be listening to. And so I just kind of went from there like by myself and started like discovering new types of music. And, you know, once I got to middle school, I started listening to stuff like the White Stripes and the Strokes and, you know, more alternative stuff. So.
And you went through the sort of, for your age, typical Warp Tour emo pop punk bands.
I had like the worst emo phase of like middle school history, but yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Nicole. Jim's daughter just went off to VCU for her freshman year, and we were talking before she went that she made a pile for the Salvation Army and had all the emo t-shirts in it, right?
Yep. Oh god, yeah, I had to do that too. I just dropped mine off at Goodwill and I was like, yep. I never want to see these again, just get them out of here.
It's
I had
so
like
funny.
A Black Veil Brides t-shirt, like an all-time low t-shirt.
Yeah, Black Veil,
like, nope, just get it out.
Black Veil Brides, that was one of the shirts. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
god.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so funny because, you know, as a parent, you've witnessed all the phases. Mm-hmm. So it went from like having like One Direction posters in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. I went through that one too. So yeah. I mean, like,
to then those came down, and then up went like My Chemical Romance posters and that stuff,
uh-huh.
Right?
Oh,
and now that's gone, and she's moved on to something else, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's in college, and it's like indie rock and hip hop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Hey,
yeah.
Not a bad place to be.
No, it isn't a bad place to be. Yeah. But you guys both got to admit that's an important phase to go through, right? You got to go through that phase.
Yeah. You really do have to. I mean, I'm not going to lie, there's some good music in that phase. I think a lot of the artists that I used to listen to back then, they used to be that like campy emo kind of stuff. I think a lot of those artists have kind of grown up like with their listeners and they've kind of gone into different genres and maybe, I don't know, like some of them have definitely done some better things, I think.
Yeah, and I do think it's totally important. And I think you also make a really good point in your piece, as mm-hmm. I said, which we'll tweet out, how it, you know, the tour itself kind of grew into something that wasn't very good. You know, it kind of outgrew its age and there were all kinds of ugly accusations, you know, that were happening.
I mean,
it wasn't good.
I was doing research on it, like just to write about it. And I mean, all these allegations about like, you know, mishaps with underage girls and just all this like gross stuff going on behind the scenes. And I think, you know, a lot of people are just attributing the tour being shut down to like, oh, well, the lineup started to suck. But I think there's a lot of, there's like a really dark and really kind of sad underbelly to like what went on at Warped Tour.
Yeah, it got kind of rotten underneath.
Yeah,
and yeah,
it got pretty,
it's kind of a good thing
great.
That mm-hmm. it's closing down. So a couple of things I want to mention. One, through our work at College Media Network, Nicole's going to Austin City Limits Festival in October,
yes.
And she's going to be doing some of your, you've done some interviews already, right, Nicole? But this is going to be a big one, right? Because there's going to be a lot of bands and you're going to do some, you've got
definitely.
A credential and you're going to be around, start interviewing. And what's the mm-hmm. one band we've been trying to get, Nicole, more than any other band?
More than any other band on the planet, I have been trying to get in touch with Greta Van Fleet.
Hey, tonight, firelight, start shining her heart.
I hear y'all laughing, like, literally.
No, because there's the Zeppelin connection, right?
I don't think they sound like Led Zeppelin. I mean, there's the obvious, like, Plant comparisons with their lead singer. But I think they just have that 70s rock vibe, and it's not necessarily Led Zeppelin. Like, if you listen to Safari Song, that does kind of have, you know, it has some connections. But, like, a lot of their other material just doesn't, I don't see it, you know? Like, if you listen to the full album, I don't really see it. But I think they need to, my thing is that they need to get away from the Zeppelin comparisons if they want to really do their own thing and really stay, like, on top of it and, you know, progress as a band. Mm-hmm. But I love them. I think they're incredible musicians and they're really talented, so.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Nicole, I guess, is do you think people that sort of dismiss them or critics or writers as just a Led Zeppelin band and kind of write them off or mm-hmm. late or just being lazy?
I definitely do. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, well, this band sounds like this band from decades before. But it's one thing to really kind of listen to their, like, to their albums all the way through. It's one thing to kind of understand, like, their background as a band and kind of create an opinion based on all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
so I do think it's kind of lazy.
Okay. Fair enough.
It is.
Yeah.
No.
Totally fair. Yeah. and I think it happens now because you're deluged with so much stuff that if it's like, oh, I can put this over here in this category and I know what it is, then I don't have to really work at it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest, like, this is what comes with being a listener too, is you always are trying mm-hmm. to find that thing that you can relate it to, that you can latch on to, right?
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
Like, even just like earlier this week, we're doing our monthly new music episodes, and every time I think we play something, we're like, that sounds a little bit like that, you know, or that's
you know,
because you want to in your mind make that tie to make it make sense to you somehow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps,
like,
you find your way.
Like, right. Yeah, like, I have a habit of, like, doing that whenever I write an album review. Like, for instance, like, I reviewed, like, Parquet Court's last album, and I was like, oh, well, this kind of sounds like The Clash, and this kind of sounds like, you know, something else. So I think it's always easy for people to go back and kind of compare new music to something that they've heard before.
Parquet Courts is a little bit of Wire mixed in with some, you know,
little
some Gang of Four in there. But but it's funny. I almost think that when you get super geeky about it to the point of annoying other people, which is where we are.
You
start to come off like one of those people who, like, really fancies themselves a wine connoisseur, where they, like, taste it and they say, oh, it has notes of vanilla and almond and the tint of asparagus or whatever, right? And this is the same kind of thing that we do all the time. Like, I hear a little bit of Gang of Four in there.
Just right there.
That's right. And then,
literally.
Right.
Now, Nicole, talk a little bit about, and yes, we both agreed with you heartily that, you know, a 5-year-old should not be listening to Led Zeppelin 4 or Prince. But why did Zeppelin in particular stick with you, you know, and resonate with you so much?
That is a very good question. I don't know. I guess I just always loved their music. I was in the fifth grade, like, or not fifth grade, but I was 5 years old in, like, kindergarten, and I, like, announced to my teacher that, like, Black Dog was my favorite song, and she was horrified. She was like, what? But, like, I think just because that's just music that I've always heard, like, my whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a band that I've grown up with, you know? I don't even know why I like them so much, to be honest with you. Like, I really don't have an answer for that. I just do, like...
Well...
You know, aside from maybe, like, Rolling Stones or a few other bands from that era, they really were, at the time, like, at their height, like, the world's greatest rock band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The history behind that band is, like, it's gross, but it's, like, fascinating.
Really,
you know?
Is, yeah.
And I just think, you know, Page, Plant, you know, John Paul Jones, Bonham, like, they're just four of the most talented musicians, and I think they really honed their craft into something really great, and that's, it's lived on past, you know, past the end of their, you know, band. It's really mm-hmm. it's continued on even to the modern era. So
I think the way that those four guys played together is one of those things that you can't just create. You can't you know
mm-hmm.
although it's funny because I mean Jimmy Page in a way did sort of create it, but but it just so works that, like, you can't take one piece out, I guess, and replace it with something else. It would just would not be the same.
Mm-hmm. And like when Bonham died, they all knew, you know, there's no way we can continue on like we have been.
Right.
Like they were, I think they were right to call it quits. Cause I mean, who are they going to get to replace John Bonham? How do you replace that powerhouse of musicians?
I think what you're saying, and as somebody who like yourself is a true music fan, when you say sort of like, I'm at a loss for words to explain like why this band doesn't. No, I think there's a legitimate reason with Led Zeppelin, because Led Zeppelin, I think, has had such a wide appeal because it just sort of hits you in the gut. Yeah. Like there's not like a, there's really not that much you can say other than that. It's just like, it's just that kind of like raw reaction that I think you have to their music. And you know, any band who can achieve that, you know, deserves to be, you know, held up like the golden god.
Know? First time I heard Misty Mountain Hop, I almost passed out. I was like, that's unbelievable. Like I can't believe that's a real song. Band who got slagged off by lazy critics back in the they were like they're just drugged out, you know, sludge music. Why should I pay any attention to those guys? And then suddenly the third album they're doing acoustic stuff, then people are like, what? I didn't know that was gonna happen.
Like Led Zeppelin 3, when that came out, they like reached so many different genres. They did like world music, folk, rock, of course, you know, but like
it's true. You're gonna be mad at me for this, Nicole, but I'm gonna hold to it. So give me your top five Zeppelin albums.
Jesus Christ. Okay. my favorite Zeppelin album alternates like every other day, to be honest.
Currently,
I got to go with like Physical Graffiti.
Number one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then number two, I would probably go with Zeppelin 3. Just like I said, all the elements going into that album are incredible. And Tangerine's like one of my all time favorite songs. Mm-hmm. Okay. For my third pick, I would have to do Zeppelin 4. Because that entire album is like a greatest hits album. It's like, you know, that album came out and every single song was just wonderful.
Yep.
And speaking of like lazy critics, the reason they came out with that album, and you know, they didn't really put a title on it, they didn't put labels on it. You had to like buy the album and open it to figure out who it was. It was to defer critics away from like judging, like, you know, judging everything beforehand.
Right. Not even playing it, right? Because it says Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Let me just say, I mean, the way you describe that as being a greatest hits album, it is amazing. There are no deep cuts on that album.
No, there aren't.
Every song is like a radio song. Yeah,
maybe Four Sticks would be the weirdest one. Yeah. But other than that,
I would say Four Sticks is, and maybe Battle of Evermore, like two that are like.
Yeah, but that kind of grew over time.
Yeah, those are both jams, though.
Yeah.
Okay, number four. I don't know. I guess Zeppelin 1.
Oh, okay.
Because that one was like, that album is like from the ashes of like the Yardbirds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very blues based. It's very, you can kind of hear like Robert Plant like growing into his voice on that album. And like to this day, he said in interviews, like he wasn't happy with like all the ad libs he put in like to every song, you know?
Yeah.
Like he, like listening back, he thinks it sounds like dumb, which I think is really funny because it's like one of their really good albums. And then for my fifth choice, I got to go with Zeppelin 2 because that one's just amazing. So
not going to go with Presence, huh?
You know,
I'm teasing. It's a weird album. Like, it's weird.
It's
like,
weird, but it's got like, it's got Nobody's Fault But Mine.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Got Achilles Last Stand. Yeah. It's a good
Candy
one.
Store Rock, maybe, is that on there?
Yeah. Royal Orleans.
Yeah, I go through phases of liking that album and then other ones where I'm like, this is my favorite Zeppelin album, and others I'm like, okay, great job. I know I would hate anybody who would ask me to say, like, what are your top five albums? You know, that would be really mean.
That's like my least favorite question of all
time. I know, but I did it anyway. It's my least favorite, too.
Of course.
So let me just say here, too, you know, you ended up at Led Zeppelin 2 at number 5.
Yeah.
For that to be that low, right? It's kind of, because again, there's hardly any deep cuts on that album.
There's not.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's funny when you like listen to like classic rock radio or like XM radio, any Led Zeppelin song they play is probably going to be on 2 or 4 because, or off of 2 or 4, yeah. You know, because no deep cuts. Like you said, they're all hits. They were all what made them famous pretty much. Yeah.
But one, I just think is such a great gem of a debut album.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
The way it just like,
exactly.
bursts out of the speakers. It's so funny. It's one of those albums that I wish I could go back to 1969 and experience it.
Yeah.
For the first time.
I mean, when that album came out, it was like nobody had heard anything like that before, except for maybe like Iron Butterfly or like Deep Purple.
Yeah.
No one had heard people combine blues and like hard rock like that before.
Right. But the difference here was just the power that came out with Led Zeppelin, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like those bands you talked about, they were still kind of doing that kind of like slow jammy blues kind of stuff
exactly,
for the most part, you know? And this
was
just
like, they didn't
have
that raw power like
right,
had.
Boom. You know, can you imagine what that must have sounded like at the time?
No.
Yeah.
I can't imagine seeing that drummer mic'd up in an arena.
I guess
no
if
way,
you
man.
Were already a fan of The Who, maybe you kind of like, you
little
know,
bit.
Would be prime for this, or Hendrix. But man, this would just bring all those pieces together. Like,
no,
I said.
You're right. It hits you in the solar plexus like a little deeper. Yeah. All right, Nicole, I got a couple more questions for you. So,
okay.
But I think Nicole, right, we should probably have her on pretty regularly. Like, she's pretty awesome, right, Jim?
Yeah, sounds good, because she'd be our South Carolina correspondent.
Yeah, she can be our South Carolina correspondent.
Well,
we have Tug Baker.
You have to fight with Tug.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Tug.
Yeah.
Nicole, talk a little bit about you as a junior in college, how you consume music. Do you mainly stream? Do you buy? Have you ever bought CDs, or do you mainly buy vinyl? How do you go about it?
Well, I mean, you know, being a broke college kid, that Spotify discount is pretty rad. As much as I like hate on streaming and like my articles and stuff, I do stream a lot of stuff, you know, but I'm a person who like, I always try and listen to albums like all the way through. Like if a new album comes out, I'm probably going to listen to it from like start to finish.
Yeah. By the way, where's that Lemon Twigs review? You said you were going to finish. It's not in
yet.
Oh
man. You know, let me tell you, class started last Thursday. It's been rough.
instead of writing reviews. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say though, Lemon Twigs, talk about retro rock, right?
Yeah. Oh man. I love the Lemon Twigs. Like I actually just recently really got into them like the beginning of the summer. A couple of years ago, like when they came out with Do Hollywood, I liked like maybe one or two songs, but they're incredible songwriters. I mean, I like explained them to somebody and I said, picture like Keith Moon and Todd Rundgren doing like a collaboration, and that's the Lemon Twigs. Maybe I'll play wrong. I mean, they've got that like weird stage presence where, you know, the older brother, Brian, who is like the Todd Rundgren in question, he'll like stand up front and do some slower jams. And then the younger brother, Michael, who's like the Keith Moon in question, will go up and he'll do like scissor kicks. He'll just like run around and he'll like roll around on the ground. And like, he's it's all great. I mean, it's really cool. So I think they're a really talented group.
And I think we noticed they sort of dress like the Faces.
A little bit. Like yeah, we were they talking literally about do. That. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
One
yeah.
of them, I forgot which one of them had like the mullet for a while, like a yeah. mullet for yeah. a really long yeah. time. And it was like literally the Faces. Like,
yeah. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Nicole. You were saying you stream a lot of stuff yeah. just because you listen to a lot of stuff, right?
I mean, I just, you know, consume music like constantly. Yeah. So Spotify is like a really easier way to do that. But it's pretty rad because like the new apartment I just moved into for the semester, mm-hmm. it's right up the road from like a record store.
Nice.
And Five Points, which is like the downtown in Columbia. And so like recently I've been able to kind of walk down there and like flip through, you know, older stuff and, you know, new releases and things like that. So that's pretty cool mm-hmm. because when I was, you know, back home for the summer, that was like my favorite thing to do, just go to like a record store and look at all the new releases that, you know, have just come out. And, cause I think that's like, I'm like a purist, which is lame. And I probably, you know, going back to the wine connoisseur thing, it's probably what people think I am when it comes to music, but that's my favorite way to like, cause it's an experience. That's my favorite way to listen to music is to go to a record store and pick something up. And
you can tell why I like Nicole and we get great. Along so well.
That's
yeah.
great. All right. That's encouraging to know because you hear about,
yeah, for sure.
You hear about people nowadays who only listen to, you know, music sort of like on shuffle yeah. and little bits and pieces. And it really, I think it's changing the way a lot of artists put out music mm-hmm. now. You notice how they
definitely,
even before they finally release that album, they're putting out like, you know, three or four singles ahead of time, quote unquote singles. It's yeah. not like in the old days where you would put out a radio single and sort of let it germinate mm-hmm. for a little while and hope it would maybe go up on, you know, the Casey Kasem chart
right,
back
right.
and down
yeah.
and then
yeah.
be like Casey a, Kasem and then be a sort of an advertisement for the album coming out in yeah. a way. Now mm-hmm. it's just like, you got to put out like three songs before that album drops. And it's like, they're all like 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like
the
boom,
thing
boom,
that
boom.
That I've noticed is like, especially like, you know, you've got like that Nicki Minaj, like Travis Scott feud going on about like, whose album has been streamed more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like you have to put out a couple singles and then an album and pray that they're like the most streamed thing on Spotify or on Apple Music. I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
how artists put out music now, and that's yeah. how they get notoriety.
It's funny because this new Arctic Monkeys album came out a couple of months ago, and they they purposely, it was like a big deal that they didn't release any mm-hmm. singles in advance.
I
it
remember
was just
that.
Like
yeah.
the album dropped, right? Yeah. The reality is that probably should have just
they
kept it all
should've.
To themselves
yeah.
entirely. Honestly, yeah. yeah,
that's a different story. I mean, yeah. Nicole, I want to ask you one more thing, and I yeah. really appreciate you coming on and spending some time, and I'll give you one hint. We're going to ask you for a song to play out with, because you know on Rockin' the Suburbs, we always play out with a song at the end, so start thinking about
oh,
that.
Man.
You got a few minutes, because no. I want to ask you a different question. Now, Nicole and I have talked okay. about this a little bit, Jim. Talk a little bit about you as a journalism major, right? You're going to be mm-hmm. graduating next year with a journalism degree. And
hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And two, obviously, as we've all heard, a music obsessive and into a lot of different mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, Nicole was able to whip out, you know, within, I think, an hour's notice, a really nice obituary on Aretha Franklin.
Oh, okay.
And it's also written about Travis Scott. And as she said, Parquet Courts, new albums, Rolling Stone review, you know, a lot of different stuff. So, Nicole, talk about, you know, your upbringing, your background, and your journalism love, and how important to you is the movie Almost Famous? Did that make a big difference
oh,
to you?
God. That literally kind of, I mean, okay, so I like to call myself a failed musician because I grew up my whole life taking piano lessons and guitar lessons, and, you know, middle school, high school, just kind of lost interest and stopped mm-hmm. doing that, but kept, you know, my love of like just listening to music. And I've always loved writing, you know, whether it be like creative writing or like high school, like writing essays, because, you know, I'm a nerd. I enjoy essays and things like that.
Okay, Mr. Essay, I say prepare to be written.
I have like the curly, like blonde hair. So my aunt used to always call me Penny Lane, and I never understood why. I was like, what? And she finally was like, have you never seen Almost Famous? And I'm like, no. And so I watched it. And that was really, I know that's like stupid, but it's like the thing that really cemented, like, I could do that. I could be that like kid, like going around and like interviewing bands and writing about that. You know, I think music journalism now is definitely not what it was back in '70s or the '60s.
Of course. Right.
Definitely. I think it's a lot more restricted than it used to be. And a lot of music magazines are kind of like shutting down print and focusing more on like, you know, online and on specific genres. So it's definitely more limited, but that's, you know, I love doing it. I think it's just such a fun way of writing. It's a fun way of listening to new music. And, you know, even if I don't end up in music journalism, I definitely would still want to end up just as a writer in general, because that's just something I've always loved doing. But Almost Famous is definitely important to me. It's a very important movie, I think.
I have this theory, yeah. Jim, there's going to be a groundswell of people influenced by that movie. And I think music writing is going to be much, much better for it. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to make it, Nicole, as a music writer. There's no way you won't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Patrick.
I'm going to make that happen one way or another. Do we need a third intern? Do we need a writing intern, Jim, on Rockland Suburbs?
Are you kidding me?
Nicole's pretty busy now, so we'll talk to her after she graduates.
Well, I don't know what
we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know what work she's doing for your day job mm-hmm. exactly, but if any of these interviews are happening that she wants to record, and you know, send us tape.
Yeah,
totally.
We could work
to help
with
you out. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Let's talk about that. That's a really good idea. Yeah.
It really is, yeah.
I would love to hear Nicole interviewing Greta Van Fleet. It's going
to
be
epic. My God. You mean you would love to hear me crying and like fainting while they, you know, what's wrong with her? Like,
yeah, I think you're going to pull up and do an amazing job. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. Yeah, we got about a month. Nicole, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day and talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Why don't you just tell people where they can find Nicole's writing?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find Nicole's writing on collegemedianetwork.com and you can search Nicole there and see her stuff. And Nicole, where else can people follow you?
Well, I'm also writing for Garnet and Black magazine at USC. So if you go to garnetandblackmagazine.com, there as well.
Okay. And you're out there on the Twitter too, right?
Yeah, I am on the Twitter. I am familiar with the tweets. So yeah, you guys can follow me at 1998 Nicole K if you're interested.
All right. There you go. So what do you got, Nicole? What should we play
on? Okay. Well, since we were talking about the Lemon Twigs earlier and they just released the new album, I think y'all should go out with Small Victories by the Lemon Twigs.
Okay.
Because that's a really good one.
Nice.
Yeah.
This has been a small victory for us here on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Got it right here. The new album is called Go to School.
Yeah.
I was listening to it the other day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's unusual, right? It's a concept album.
It is. It's a concept album and like Todd Rundgren sings on it fittingly. So it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, perfect. It's a bit.
It's got its weak moments, but like all in all, I think it's a pretty bold risk to come out with a rock opera in 2018.
Yeah, man.
So I was gonna say,
gotta give him props.
It has sort of a theatrical quality to it in a lot of ways.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
And I tweeted you guys.
Texted us, yeah.
Or Texas, yeah. I meant to say. I texted you and intern Sam and said, could this sound more like Alex Chilton?
Yeah, that's right.
One of the songs. I can't remember which song it was now, but I was listening to it going, you know, it just sounds exactly like that. So I think they do that. I think they also pick little influences and try to
hammer on those.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Queen of My School, I believe, is the one you were talking about.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's a really good one.
Yeah. So go listen to that and tell me it doesn't sound like a...
Right.
Alex Chilton. Yeah, stuff. But in the vocal delivery and everything, and the guitar sound and all of that. But anyway, okay, we're doing Small Victories.
Yes, we had a small victory. Thank you, Nicole, so much for doing this. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
We're probably going to want you back.
Yeah,
so
get cracking on those interviews for us.
I'll be around.
Okay.
More incentive to line up these interviews, right, Nicole?
Yes.
All right. Absolutely. All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is...
Nicole Kitchens.
There we go. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
30 minutes on Led Zeppelin.
Literally even 40 minutes, to be honest.
She's pretty obsessed with Led Zeppelin.
Like,
to say.
I would say it's like a borderline unhealthy obsession.
Yeah, from what I know, it seems to be pretty bad. I haven't yet recommended medical treatment, but it's pretty bad.
I mean, not yet, but you know, that might be the next step, to be honest.
I lost you in a poker game to Seth. Let me start over.